Hallelujah. Father, we honor you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We exalt your name, for you're worthy, worthy of all honor and all glory, Father. Lord, we just bring this day before you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing, your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, Lord, towards us, upon us, Lord, in everything that you've bestowed upon us. Father, we acknowledge that, and we just want to say thank you. We give you thanks, Lord, for a lot of things, Father, for everything that you've given us, even the air that we breathe. Lord, we thank you for that. Even the life that we live, the health in our bodies, God, we thank you for that. Lord, you purposed us and gave us life. Lord, you created us in your own image and your likeness for a greater purpose that we can ever, ever comprehend. And so, Father, we say thank you, Lord, this morning to you. We thank you, Holy Ghost. You're here. We sense and feel your presence. You live and dwell inside of us. As Papa Joe said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells bodily inside of us. Therefore, this same Spirit will give us life, and life everlasting. Life not just when we die and when we raise from the dead. Life right here, right now. Life in our bodies, oh God. Life in health. Life in strength. Life in every blessing that comes, oh God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray and, Lord, release your word this morning. I pray that your word shall not come back void, oh God. Your word will accomplish every purpose that it is set forth to do, that very word, oh God. Father, we thank you that you will watch over your word to fulfill it in our lives. Every man, woman, and children watching this morning, I pray and I thank you that, Lord, your word will fulfill itself in their lives, oh God, transforming their hearts and minds, Father. Somebody today will receive something that he has been wanting to receive for so long. This is the day that the Lord has made, that we will rejoice in that, knowing that, Lord, lives and minds and hearts will be transformed. God, I thank you. Your word is life everlasting. Your word is a lamp unto our feet that guides us, Lord, throughout this time, especially this time that we're living in right now, Lord, where we really truly need your Spirit and your word to guide us in these uncharted waters, Lord, that we call. Father, because you already have given us your word, and your word is our chart to guide us through. The storms guide us through, Lord, these uncharted waters, so that we can see where we're going, understanding that we're heading the right direction. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, and everybody that's watching today, and the music team and the team that are here today, all agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen means let it be so. As it is in heaven today, it's happening right here on earth. Excuse me. There's a powerful presence of God. And I'm allowed to cry too. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Well, welcome everybody. Welcome all our families that are watching everywhere in Australia, in PNG, in Port Moresby, in Bougainville. A special mention to the SNNB Fellowship that's watching right now. We welcome you, my brother, and all those that are watching also in Bougainville, all our families. I thank you for being with us here today. This is church, as you know, church has totally changed the way we are doing church right now, but you know, God is using this live stream and God is using that medium to touch more lives than ever before. I believe we're reaching more people than we ever have reached as a church in a local city. But right now, every man in his room and his dog has a mobile phone. Wherever you are in the garden or going fishing or you're right there in your village, you have a mobile phone. And the church is coming to you right now. The word of God is coming to you right now. So there's no excuse for you to say, oh, I didn't hear the gospel. Well, the gospel is preached. The Bible says, and the gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached, and then the end shall come. My friend, this end of the world is not left to the one world government or any other president or any prime minister, anybody. The one world government doesn't own the end of the world. You, my friends, who are called by his name, he says, when you've preached this gospel, after it's been preached, and whether people receive the gospel or people heard the gospel and people believe and come into the kingdom, whether they do that or not, the gospel has been preached. And then the end shall come. Hallelujah. And we are right here now, right now, at the very end of the age, as Jesus said. And he promised us that he will be, what? With us. True, even to the end of the age, he says. Hallelujah. You know, some of you sitting here right now, some of you here are going to be witnessing some amazing miracles and events that are happening right before our eyes today that you never thought you will be witnessing. It's a very interesting time. You know why? It's interesting for the church. I'm excited about this because that's something that we look forward to, the coming of our Messiah. Hallelujah. You know, recently I saw something on news about the lands minister in Israel about to give recognition or allowing the beginning of the building of the temple. Man, I got excited. The temple that was going to be built on the very place that King David's temple was established. Now that makes me excited because the time is very close. And so I encourage you, family, if you are not in church, if you are still thinking about not coming to church, you're still thinking about not fellowshipping or recommitting your life back to Christ, or if you've gone away from the Lord, I encourage you, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. I can't stress that so far enough and more important. This is the day of the Lord today. Today is the day of salvation that we must really, really think about the life we're living right now. Hallelujah. And I have been talking about the great falling away. You know, the great falling away is not about the world falling away. It's about the church falling away. The great falling away is happening even in the midst of the Holy Spirit operating. You have the will to walk away from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there convicting you, but you make the choice of either coming into the kingdom and following what God is doing or what the Holy Spirit is doing or saying to you, or you have the choice of not just being there. And that's why the great falling away happens when there's lack of prayer, when there's lack of fellowship, when there's lack of true repentance, when there's lack of real fellowship, not just lip service fellowship, but real fellowship together. That's and another thing is this, right teaching. When you hear right, when you believe right, when you live right, that's when you know that you're on the right path. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, and the Spirit only speaks about the things that Jesus tells it to do or to say. It doesn't speak about anything else. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all connected together, all working together. Hallelujah. One God. Hallelujah. The true and God that we worship today. You know, I have been constantly talking about the Holy Spirit because God hasn't really told me to stop. And I always share that with the team. I said, I don't feel I need to stop right now. I have to still keep going on this path that we're on. So we are actually on part four of the principles of the Holy Spirit. And the subtitle of this message is, I did say feasting on the word, but I believe it's getting the formula right. Jesus is the architect. He's the one that designed everything. And he gave the Holy Spirit to present the formula to us, to teach us the formula, to understand how things work, to understand how his word worked, to understand the context of the scripture, to understand why he said what he said, and what don't just study the scripture, but study the pretext and study the post-text. All of those three connect together. When you do that, you understand what the word is saying or what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. So when you're a person that's reading the Bible, always remember that. Don't just study the word and quote the scripture and that's it and live on the scripture. Study what it says. Pretext. Why did he say what he said? And study what he said after that. All of those connect together. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will go into the deep things of God and reveal to you great understanding. Hallelujah. Why am I still talking about the Holy Spirit? You know why? Because Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of the truth, or Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears, not from anybody, but from me, Jesus says, then he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. You know why? Because it tells us even before we reach that particular era or event or year or what the time that we're living in right now, it tells us. Hallelujah. I keep talking to the team. The Holy Ghost is refining our spirit that we are able to connect and see the same dreams and see the same visions and talk about the same things and understand that when He gives you the word, it connects and it confirms through two or three, even four. And so we know that God is speaking. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." All that I said to you. The Holy Ghost is going to bring everything, bring to remembrance everything that Christ Jesus said. He doesn't speak on anybody's behalf. He doesn't come and speak on YouTube or the title of something in YouTube. He doesn't speak on the news media's behalf. He doesn't speak on National Geographic's behalf. He doesn't speak on the latest movie behalf. He doesn't do that. He speaks according to what Jesus tells him, and he speaks through his word. Hallelujah. We call the Bible, which is really our constitution of the kingdom of God that you and I are citizens of. Hallelujah. And you live your life based on the constitution that Jesus has already given you. And it's also like a blueprint. So I'm talking really about formulas this morning. To be able to go through those uncharted waters, we need the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit to guide us. The more we spend time in the university of silence, which I call, our spirit will be so refined that you can hear the still quiet voice of the Holy Spirit above all the truck noises and television noises and all the other stuff that's coming through, even the children yelling and your husband yelling at you and your wife yelling at you, even through all that, hallelujah, you can hear the still quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love it. I love it, and I'm getting excited about it because I'm starting to see the manifestation of what God is doing in the church. I've never been so excited about that season unlike the time today. The more we spend time in the university of silence, you can hear Him very clearly and distinctively above all the noises around you. Hallelujah. When your wife yells at, "Man, do this!" Hello, Holy Spirit. You can still hear Him. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, listen, I'm bringing you some amazing, powerful formula this morning. I'm a boilermaker. My job in the days when I had to go and learn a trade was design things and build them. We design steel structures and bridges and communication towers and all this kind of stuff. We design them. We get a plan together, a blueprint, and we design it, and then we go and build it. And so I'm coming from that point of view of understanding the principles, and that's why I keep talking about principles all the time. I keep talking about it all the time, and I'm bringing some formulas. A formula of something, when you get it right, you get the right amount of, you're baking a cake, you get the right amount of recipe and all these things together, you get a great cake. If you're creating something in chemistry, you'd understand formula. Mathematical formulas and engineering formulas and all this. God has already given us an amazing formula. And when I read the Word of God, I always look for principles. In other words, you can look for things that He's saying and the pattern of what He's saying. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, they said, "Lord, teach us not how to pray, but teach us to pray." These men, they're already religious men before they came to Christ. They're Jews. Their life is based around sacrifices, rituals, prayer, and all these things that happen inside their nation or inside their community. So they already know how to pray. But they are missing something. They were missing something that was so paramount to what God was trying to do in their lives. And that is not how to pray, but pray right. Pray. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They asked Him to teach them to pray. In other words, they simply asked Him to give them some clear, basic, key principles of prayer. So Jesus said to them, hallelujah. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, He says, "When you pray," I love this. Let me just put this paper away first before I get too excited. He says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Hallelujah. In His church, I always tell you, pray for 20 minutes, listen for 3 hours. We forget meditation. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, he says, pray like this. And then he started. And so my message today is based on the Lord's Prayer. There's some great principles that I was bringing out of that. And the Holy Ghost started to speak as I was reading the Word and going through that. And I thought, this is powerful. And it says, Jesus started by saying this. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First things first. Put the cart not before the horse. Put the horse before the cart. That's principle. He said in Isaiah 42 verse 8, it says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. The Bible says God is a jealous God. God, that's why God wants the people to worship him and him alone. No carved images, no idolatry, no idols, nothing. He says, I am God, and that is my name, and I will not share my glory with any carved images or anything that doesn't represent me or doesn't look like me. I am God, he says. For he will not share his praise to carved images. That's why we come to prayer first by giving him glory and honor. Reverence before God. Understanding who God is. When you understand who God is, then you have a relationship that is true, that you not only fear God, but you reverence and respect God. Hallelujah. He says, you know, give God all glory, honor, worship him first, for he is worthy of all praise. Have a reverent fear of God. Have respect and holy fear of God. Acknowledge him for who he is. Do all this first before you bring your shopping list to him. Every time we pray, we bring a shopping list to God. Every time we do things, we say, God, I want this, I want that, and do this and do that. And God says, hang on a minute, I'm trying to speak. Can you just shut up for one moment and listen to me? And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. When you pray, stop praying, meditate on the Word, and just listen. Listen, and you can hear the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it is so powerful. And God will start to speak clearly and clearly and clearly, and the voice starts to get louder and louder and louder. In the midst of crisis, in the midst of all this stuff that's happening around you, you will hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in what? Reverent fear. Noah understood a relationship with God. He had a reverent fear of God, a respect for God. He says, by God concerning events that are yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. When Noah started building that ark, the world was condemned. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is the ark. He is the one right now. I got saved from listening to this message. The question came, where is your ark? Have you built your ark? I sat there and said, I don't even have a log to float on if this ship or this thing goes. We need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. He's the ark, and he's the savior. He's the door. Hallelujah. Then verse 10 of Christ's prayer says, your kingdom come, and your will, the point word there, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. In other words, let the culture of heaven happen here right now, God. Whatever that is happening in heaven, whatever that we don't see in the Spirit, let it manifest itself right here, right now, on earth. How does it do that? It comes through you and I, who have been called by his name, sanctified by his, cleansed by his blood, restored by his Holy Spirit. And we are the ones that are supposed to reveal his glory. When God says, and my glory shall fill the earth, it was meaning it's not a mist or a cloud or a fire by night. It means the people carrying his presence will reveal his glory to the earth. That is what God is saying. How does that happen? By those who are called by his name, washed and redeemed by his blood to reveal his glory on earth. The earth shall be what? Filled with his glory Through you, my friends, sitting here right now, if you've given your heart to Jesus, having the Holy Ghost inside of you, the glory of God. You must start to represent God the way God wants to be represented in the world. We Christians have this habit of really, truly messing up by misrepresenting God. We call ourselves Christians, living a double standard life, paying lip service to God every time. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm on fire. How are you on fire? I've seen people on fire for God 1 minute, and next minute they're down the drain again. And you have the Holy Spirit right here with you right now. Hallelujah. We have no excuse. The moment we start to bring our lives into prayer, bring our lives into the university of silence, and start to understand the real God is about relationship. When we do things relationshiply with God, then things start to happen in our lives. The manifestation of the kingdom of God truly happens through us. We are the ones that carry His glory. Hallelujah. The earth shall be filled with His glory. Through us, His glory manifested through us. God is revealed through us. God is represented properly and truly and honestly through us. Hallelujah. Don't misrepresent God. Don't go saying you're on fire for God and then you're off fire for God. How do you get on fire and off fire? A fire doesn't go away when the Holy Ghost is upon you, my friends. There is no way you can go cold. No way. Hallelujah. A lot of people ask these questions. What is God's will for me? You know, it is a wrong question to be asking right now. To find your will and your purpose, you have to understand, first of all, God's will. To find your will in life and what you were born and called to, first of all, you go find God's will. What is His will for you? What is His will first? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, I love the scripture. It says, Paul says, I beseech you. In other words, I'm begging you. Paul's literally begging the church. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Beseech means to beg for urgently or anxiously by the message of God. He says that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And then he says, in verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, hallelujah, by the renewing of your mind, that you may, what? Prove what is good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. Hallelujah. God's will is for His kingdom to be established through these people who are holy and righteous. God's will is for glory to be revealed through those who are called by His name. God's will is for His creation, the humans that He created to be holy, walk in righteousness before Him. Hallelujah. God's will is for His kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. This is God's will. Before you find your will, you go find God's will first. Hallelujah. God's will is for mankind to repent and turn away from his sins and come back to God. Hallelujah. God's will is returning of the Holy Spirit back to the earth where it belongs in the garden when Adam lost him. Hallelujah. It is so simple that we make it so complicated. We've created religion to control people. Hallelujah. We don't want people to go anywhere. As long as they're here, then I have money in my pocket. And listen to me. It is not about you building your kingdom, but God's only kingdom. The reason why Jesus is delayed is because we are still building our own kingdom. We haven't actually built His kingdom. When we build our own kingdom, then God says, I can't come there. This doesn't work for me. Unless you build my kingdom, then I will come. Unless you build my church, then I will come. Hallelujah. This is something that I'm sensing in the Holy Spirit all the time. When we stop building our own kingdoms and our own little churches and our own little ministries and all that, and build His kingdom, and preach messages that will transform people's lives, hallelujah, that people will hear right, believe right, and live right. I am on Holy Spirit. I am on righteousness. I am on holiness. Nothing else, nothing more. Hallelujah. Life is not a rehearsal, my friends. Life, you have one life, and that life doesn't belong to you. Therefore, you cannot experiment with that life because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. I love this scripture, and I'm going to quote it again. Jeremiah 1:5. Even before you were in your mother's womb, it says, I knew you. Hallelujah. God created that spirit The very spirit that lives and dwells inside of you belongs to the Almighty God. Hallelujah. He created it in His own image, in His own likeness. And your father and your mother formed that body when they came together. And even before they talked about having a child, God already had you. Hallelujah. That's why He hates abortions and all these rubbish that people are talking about right now, killing babies and all these evil things that are happening around now. You have no right to kill nobody. Hallelujah. You have no right to take any life. Everything belongs to God, and God Himself will take it. God Himself will give it, and God Himself will take it. Hallelujah. That is why when we fulfill God's number one will, and what is that number one will? Let me go again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all that shall be added unto you. Everything, that's including your will, that's including your dream, that's including whatever you what was I born for, seek His kingdom first, and truly seek His kingdom. Not seeking His kingdom in a lip service only, but seek it with your heart and say, God, I am after your kingdom. Give me your kingdom. I need to be inside this kingdom. And when you're in this kingdom, hallelujah, and when you found this kingdom, He says, and then all that, everything that you desire shall be added unto you. That is a principle. That is putting the horse before the cart. Hallelujah. We are all pushing a cart and the horse is looking at us and going, what's wrong with you people? That's my job. I'm supposed to be pulling that cart. Why are you pushing it? Animals are looking at me going, these guys are crazy. Humans are worse than animals right now. Animals have more sense. Hallelujah. I better not go. I'm going to go to another message. That's including you discovering and understanding your will. Then you will be satisfied with life. You'll be content with life. The moment you find God's kingdom, you become content with life. Life is good. Hallelujah. I love life right now. I found life. Life to me is so simple. Hallelujah. Don't make life complicated, my friends. Verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. And my goodness, I'm telling you, Jesus, when He gave the foundation structure of His prayer, it had depth inside of it. There's some depth inside of that that we need to dig in. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Papa Joe brought a powerful message on communion. I had tears in my eyes listening to that message. The power of the Holy Spirit was right here in this room. It says, give us this day our daily bread, both what? Physical bread and spiritual bread. Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He told the devil. The devil's talking about parties and banquets and things, and Jesus said, listen, man shall not live on food or bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a bread. That's a life-giving bread. That's why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. I want to go there for a second. It's so beautiful. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse 35 says, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, but whoever believes in me shall what? Never thirst. I talk about the world two Sundays or three Sundays ago. I'm talking about the bread. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm the bread of life. Bread plays an integral part in a Jewish culture because they break bread and they broke bread, and then they, for 7 days, they celebrate the Passover or the exodus from Egypt into the promised land. And so bread is so important to them. So when Jesus was preaching, people were actually following Him for the bread. See, we come to church with different motives and different things in mind. Some people come to church to look for a girlfriend. Some people come to church to look for a wife. Some people come to church to find something, find a job, find some. All come to church for different wrong motives. Not to worship God. As long as they find something, you don't see them anymore. As long as they find a wife, you don't see them anymore. As they find a girlfriend, you don't see them anymore. When they find a job, you don't see them anymore. These are the principles, hallelujah. Those people were following Jesus because of bread, physical bread. And Jesus understood that. And that's why He got on the boat and He tried to escape from them. But they keep following Him because they didn't change because of the manifestation of the signs and wonders. They were actually looking for that thing that He was miraculously giving to them. Jesus was trying to get away from the crowd. He excuses the crowd of following Him. He accuses the crowd of following Him for the free meal. People were following Him for the food. And he said, are you not listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth? Hallelujah. That's why God said, those who worship him shall what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. When you come to church, you come to worship God, who is a spirit. You see, when he says, our Father, what? Art in heaven. God is in heaven. He's a spirit. And we come to worship him in truth and in spirit. You don't come to church to look for a wife or a job or some kind of blessing. That church is not there for you to do that. Church is for you to come to worship God first and nothing else. Hallelujah. You better fasten your seatbelts because I'm going more up. Hallelujah. He tells them in John chapter 6, verse 27, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, he says, which the Son of Man, who, hallelujah, will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Hallelujah. The seal of God is upon Jesus. And he said, that's the bread. Eat from that. Drink from that. Hallelujah. Papa Joseph said, eat, break it, and eat together. These are significant things that we should get back to and understand about the power of God that's behind all this. It is not a ritual. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats from me shall never hunger again. In other words, they were so enthralled with the food, they were missing out on the fact that the Messiah had come. They were looking after food and following food, and the Messiah is right there saying, are you listening to my words? Hallelujah. So that kept asking for a sign, as if the miracles feeding and walking on water wasn't enough. God says, I just walked on water. I just fed you. What more do you want? Hallelujah. And listen to me very carefully, my friends. That's why the great falling away is happening, because people are not listening to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated, the Bible tells me, on the right-hand side of the Father. His ministry of prayer hasn't stopped. He's continuously praying for the church, praying for his church, praying for you. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he will come back for his what? Bride. The church is his bride. You know who is operating right now? Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is operating right now, and we are not listening to the Holy Spirit. If the people are following after a physical bread and not seeing the Messiah right before their eyes, then how much more you think you're going to get away from the lies of the devil who's telling you that it's okay, just live a life like that. Just listen, let it come up from one ear and go. It's fine. The enemy knows that. He's used that since the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's still using it today. Hallelujah. That's why we need the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit inside the church. A lot of people ask questions like that. And I said, my goodness, have you ever, listen, Jesus said, man that shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow, what? Thereby, verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that, the Lord is gracious. Have you ever watched a young baby suck on milk or eat something? I mean, we're doing a dedication for a little Syrian today, and I love feeding him those banana biscuits from Coles. They just melt inside their mouths. She's holding onto it. And as soon as he put that in her mouth, she goes, and the whole tongue sticks out. She just loves that thing. Hallelujah. Peter was using that to talk about it. You know, she truly enjoys that milk or that little biscuit. And when the whole world of, you know, the culinary possibilities that opens up for us now, we dwell into it. See, the word of God should be treated like a banquet, but you don't pick and choose a banquet. You eat the whole thing. Hallelujah. This is the only meal that you eat that you don't get full. You just keep going. Hallelujah. You got to go overeat. Get into it. Get into the word of God. Eat and be full. Hallelujah. You aren't left alone to make sense of scripture anymore than the babies. The young children are expected to get their own meals, but God has given us the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit illuminates the word, making the meaning clear to those who seek to understand it. When you seek the Holy Spirit, to understand His word. He makes it clear. He lights it up. He shines His light on it. He illuminates it so that we can really understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "But God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." You want to know your will? You seek God's will first. You find God's will first. And then God will reveal to you the deep secrets that you never think you would never understand. The Holy Spirit, what dives into God. It's like it goes into God and finds that deep secret that it's in there about you and brings it out and reveals it to you through His word. Hallelujah. When you get that, your life changes. Your past doesn't affect you anymore. Everything about your past, everything about what happens to you changes when you truly, truly understand the will of God. Hallelujah. God is not about lip service. God is not about paying lip service. We are full of people paying lip services to God. God is not interested. God wants your heart. God wants your relationship. God wants true connection, true relationship with Him. Hallelujah. You know, according to Ephesians 4, chapter 11, He has what? Gave some to apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Let me just have some water of life. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Pastors and teachers are charged with equipping the saints for the service. You know, Living Light family, you are eating dinner, you are eating breakfast. From Monday to Thursday, you're getting the word. Sunday to Sunday, we have church going. You have no excuse. Oh, I'm feeling sick today, or I don't have petrol in my car. It's coming to you live, hallelujah, in your living room. You have no excuse. You're eating Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're eating again. Now you're having a banquet right here, hallelujah. And on Monday, you're going to have snacks and more... Hallelujah. The word of God is coming to you. The church is coming to you. You can't escape church. It's coming after you. Hallelujah. The word of God is coming after you. All you need to do is sit in the toilet, wherever you are, turn on your, I had to say toilet because that's the best place the Holy Ghost speaks to me. It's quiet. There's no noise. Nobody disturbs you. And you turn on your phone and you can watch church right there. You can worship right there. You can fellowship right there. Hallelujah. But it's up to you. It's not up to anybody to come and force you to turn your TV on or turn your phone on. It's up to you. You have a right to choose. God has already given you the will to what? Choose. Hallelujah. He didn't make robots so they can come and press your button like a phone and you get up and start working. You have a choice. Hallelujah. Make that choice right now to be part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So that your life will transform. This world is never going to be the same. I have to tell you this again. It will not change. The place that it's going to, it's going right now. But we as the kingdom people must understand how to function and live inside the kingdom. How to live according to the word of God. Because that is the only thing that will keep us safe from everything that's coming against the church or against your family or against you. The enemy works 24/7. Non-stop, hallelujah. You know, the demons and the devils obey Satan. And if they don't obey, Satan punishes them. So they have to obey. We have a free will to choose. God is a good God. He didn't create a robot and put some engine in it and some electronic buttons and stuff like that for you to wait for Him to come press the green light. Hallelujah. You have the choice to choose. You have pastors teaching you the word. You have evangelist speaking to you every day. Turn on YouTube and somebody is preaching to you. Hallelujah. They instruct, clarify, and motivate people to grow in their personal faith and to fulfill the church's purpose of reaching the lost. Hallelujah. We are reaching the lost right now, preaching the word of God to the people. Hallelujah. And God in His own supernatural way will connect this message to the hearts and minds of the people. It is not up to me to try and change anybody. I just preach the word of God. The way He gave it to me, I preach it. And He is the one that will watch over it, hallelujah, to fulfill everything inside the hearts and minds of people. God's word is a feast in our hearts, minds, and spirit. This is one banquet table that there is so no such thing as taking too much. Hallelujah. Come for more. Bring your plate. You remember those banquet parties that you go to and you see the same person going around the table once and the plate's about this high? You need an oxygen mask to climb. That's like climbing Mount Everest. Sorry. I said that it's like eating Mount Everest. First man, I used to say, man, your plate is like a mountain. You're the first man to eat Mount Everest. Hallelujah. But this table that I'm talking about, this bread that I'm talking about, God says, come for more. Hunger for more. Thirst for more. Come after me. Come after it. Hallelujah. God's word is like a buffet. Eat everything that is served. Don't just pick and choose. When we pick and choose certain scriptures and, oh, we believe in this one and we don't believe in that, you're starting a cult, my friend. Oh, we leave this out there and we'll just stick on this one. No, everything that God puts in His word, you believe it, you walk in it, and you abide by it, and that's it. You can't separate the word of God and say, we only believe in this little portion there and I don't think we should. No, you eat the whole thing. Hallelujah. It's a buffet. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Walk in repentance all the time. Hallelujah. Carrying personal grudges, offenses, unforgiveness will stop you from God's blessing. Papa Joe talked about it this morning. Be a person of humility, a contrite spirit, and clean hands and pure hearts. Hallelujah. Don't harden your hearts. Remember, God meets you where He finds you. Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 25 to 27, and verse 30, it says, With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people and will bring down the haughty looks. You know what haughty means? Haughty is unfriendly and seeming to consider yourself better than other people. I know everything, you know, I've heard that before. I've been to Bible college and I've got this and I've got that. God says, put it down, leave it outside the door. You come into the school of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. You rely on me and me alone. Leave all your accolades and all that other stuff outside. Humble yourself before God. That's all God is asking. It's good, go and get those certificates and God does and put them on your wall and do all that stuff. That's great. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, only the school of the Holy Spirit, He teaches you. Hallelujah. Verse 30, it says, as for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. Ooh, I like that. Flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. Verse 13, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Keep us safe from the devil and his schemes and plans and all his temptations. This is Jesus giving the structures of prayer to his disciples. He said, if you pray, don't babble on and on. Follow this structure that I've given you. Walk in it. Walk in those structures and your life will be good. God does his part in keeping you safe, but you have to do your part in making the right choices and be obedient to his word. All it boils down to, my friends, is humility, submission, and obedience. Hallelujah. No matter you're a prime minister, a rock star, some kind of a movie star, whatever you are, you're just, you know, God is the only star. God is the only, I better stop here because I've got another message again. No matter who you are, you got to bow down before God and worship Him. Hallelujah. Obey His word and walk in obedience to everything that He tells us. Obedience will keep you from sin. Obedience will protect you from the schemes and plans of the enemy. We talked about the devil never sleeps. He's forever, 24/7, walking and operating against our lives. But our obedience and our submission to God only protects us. It protects you from all the stuff that the enemy throws at you. Why? Because you're obeying His word. You're working according to His word. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit watches over His word. Hallelujah. To fulfill it in your life. Not everything that presents itself to you as an opportunity. There's something you must understand about the devil. I was sharing that with the team this morning. The devil's greatest weapon is what? Good things. Good things. That's why when someone called Jesus good master, he says, why you call me good? Only God is good. I love Jesus. It's straightforward. But he says things that are so deep that when he comes back to explain it, it just blows your mind. He knows that you're a good Christian. See, listen, the devil knows that you're a very good Christian. And you do not do bad things in front of people. Only away from other people, you do bad things. But not in front of people. Yes, I'm talking to somebody this morning. Only in front of pastors and people, you don't do anything bad. Devil knows that. Only when nobody's watching, you do something bad. He knows that you will not do the bad things in front of people. So what he does is he gives you the good things to do that are not what? Right for you. All the good things that you do thinking it's right, it's not right for you. Why? Because all he wants is your time, because he knows that your time is life. The more you waste your time on something that is not of God or you think is from God, you're wasting your time. So Satan will get you to do a lot of the good things to occupy you, keep you busy. That's why preoccupation in something that is not right is very dangerous for you. It will get you working on things that God never told you to do. Somebody say, amen, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 15 shows us some very important principles of obedience. I love this. He was told to go into the city to take, you remember the story? To take the city and kill everything in the city. God says, go into the city, wipe everybody out, including the animals. He was told to go in there, kill everybody, don't leave anything behind. But Saul went in there and he saw some really beautiful lambs and goats and some really, really lovely animals. And then he told the soldiers, don't kill that one. He said, I want to use them to what? Worship God with. Now that sounds like a good thing when somebody says, oh, we're worshiping God. Hallelujah. But listen to what God says before that. He says, don't go and keep, don't spare anything. Everything, wipe it out. That's a command. And Saul purposely disobeyed that command, thinking that what he's going to do is a good thing and God's going to really like it. God says, it's not about that. It's about you disobeying my command. Bible says he brought the animals back to the camp and Samuel came to check because the Lord had told him. And the prophet said to Saul, did you obey the Lord? Saul said, yes, I did. I did what the Lord said. Then Samuel said, then why am I hearing sheep and cattle? He says, what's that? Samuel said, why am I hearing that? This is not what God said for you to go and bring animals here. He said, wipe everything out. Here's Saul's explanation, and it sounds like every Christian's explanation. Verse 20, but I did listen to the Lord, he says. Saul answered, he sent me on a mission, and I went. I captured King Agag and destroyed his nation, and all the animals were going to be destroyed anyway. That's why the army brought the best sheep and the cattle to Gilgal as sacrifices to the Lord your God. This is Saul thinking, I'm doing the right thing here. Verse 20 says, tell me, Samuel said, does the Lord really want sacrifice and offerings? No, he doesn't want your sacrifices, he says. He wants you to what? Obey him. The principle of this scripture is not about what Saul was doing or what God, it's about what God said. Obey him. Simple things. Verse 23, rebelling against God or disobeying him because you are proud is just as bad as worshiping idols or asking them for advice. You refuse to do what God told you, so God has decided that you can't be king. Hallelujah. And Saul's explanation was most Christians' explanation very often. When people come to me and says, God told me this and God told me that, God told me this, and they put God and the Holy Spirit and everything in front of it. And I said, okay. If that's God, then go and do it. I release you, go and do it. But if it's not from God, it will crumble and fall. I'm not going to stop you from doing anything, but it's got to be from God. That's why obedience, in the simplest obedience in the kingdom, is so important to God. Hallelujah. King Saul took a good thing and destroyed the right thing. So the prophet said, you refuse to do what God told you, so God has decided that you can't be king. Obedience, you know, it's better than sacrifice. Obeying the laws of God is better than singing in the choir, being in a music team, or being in a music ministry, or preaching in the pulpit. It's more important than all this. Obedience to God. Obedience to the word of God. Everybody runs after ministries and being somebody, building churches and planning churches and all that stuff, sometimes out of disobedience. God didn't really call you to do it. It's important for us to understand these things. Pride will lead you to disobedience, and disobedience will lead you to sin, which God calls rebellion, and that is why God hates it and does not want it to rear its ugly head inside the church. And God will reveal sin. God will reveal everything that is being hidden from man. God will reveal all that, and we are in the season and the time where that's going to happen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is going to start operating like Ananias and Sapphira. Something that you talked about in your quietness in your house, then come and lie before the Lord in front of people. Those are the, you know why I'm preaching this message? Because I want to protect people. I want to protect myself from making the mistake of disobeying God's word. Hallelujah. And he says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Listen, when we get the formula right, things will start to happen. The word of God is like a formula. That is why Jesus brought them to the principles of prayer. He gave them a formula. If you want an answered prayer, follow the formula. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. You got to follow everything that God tells you to do. God has already given us a formula for the uncharted waters that we are living in right now. And the only is by His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we can survive this time and the seasons right now. We got to start tuning in to the frequency of the Spirit and listening to what the Spirit is saying. You know, an accurate prophetic in nature, and anything that is accurate and prophetic in nature is always moving. It doesn't stay stagnant, it moves. It's always fresh, it's always new every time. The Spirit is moving every time, hallelujah. And we gotta move with it and connect with it and tap into it. The Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit, is here right now. Right inside you, inside your homes, inside your lounge room, wherever you are right now, the life-giving Spirit is right there. Hallelujah. Let me just finish with this powerful scripture. So I was preparing yesterday. I went to Revelations because I wanted to study the book of Revelations, and God just showed me this scripture, and I was really encouraged by it. In the midst of all the evil Satan is planning against the church, I want to reassure you guys and anybody who's watching today, if you're in Christ Jesus, in the Lord, Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 says, because you have, listen to these words very carefully, because you have kept my command. He's talking to the faithful church. The church that is not of spot and blemish. The church that is holy and righteous. The faithful church. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. He is able to preserve his people from the hour of trial. That is the midst of the great tribulations. It is not just prevention, but his church will be exempt from being part of this or being inside of that. God is going to protect us, protect you. That's his promise. Hallelujah. But he said, only those who what? That kept my command to persevere through everything. Jesus said, no, Lord, I am with you even to the end of the age. For we have a few more years, my friends. There's not very much time left before the church age ends. And the kingdom age is going to begin. Eternity is a long place, a long time. Eternity is something that God wants you to be in. Hallelujah. We must understand that when I said that your spirit is the one that God wants, that spirit must live through eternity, because that spirit is going to have a reformed, a renewed body, a glorified body, to come back and rule and reign with Christ Jesus on his earth. Hallelujah. That's his promise to us today. I want to close, and I've closed already, but I want to say this to you. Now is the time. If you have not given your heart to Christ, if you've walked away from Christ, if you walked away from God, I want you to think about this very, very seriously. It's urgent. It's such an, I'm like Paul right now, beseeching you, begging you. It is no time for us to be outside of the kingdom of God. It is time for us to come inside. When you come in the kingdom of God, you find your will, because you've come after his kingdom. And when you come after his kingdom, you find his will. And then when you find his will, then he shows you his will. He shows you what you were called and purposed to do. Life becomes simple for you. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes this morning. I want to pray. If you have never given your heart to Christ, I want to lead you to the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. And no one comes to the Father except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brings you to Jesus. Jesus brings you to the Father. That's how they work. The triune God. One God. Hallelujah. Working together. I want you to close your eyes. Raise your hands. Bow your heads as we pray. The salvation prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and the way that I have turned my back on you. I come to you now and I repent of all the unrighteousness in my life. I turn away from it all now and I turn to you. Your word says that if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sin. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood and for dying on the cross for me, to pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I receive your blood to wash me and to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me and fill me with your Holy Spirit today, so that I can walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for receiving me and forgiving me. I am washed. I am clean. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you. Lord, your prayer has gone out by faith, oh God. I know that there are people that are watching today. They're watching and they're saying this prayer. They've said this prayer. Whether it's with their mouth, confessing it, or it's in their heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that, Lord, you empower, transform whatever the word that has gone forth this morning. Lord, let it transform their minds, Father. Father, let it break every yoke, everything that is, Lord, that is a burden to them right now. Father, that those who are living in unforgiveness, Lord, will forgive others. But Lord, most of all, they will forgive themselves, Lord, as well. Father, that will release them from everything. Father, their past will not forever, will never, never, Lord, be an hindrance in their life, oh God. That they will be set free from their past so much that their past become a powerful testimony to others, Lord, that will be able to transform their lives as well. God, use them, oh God. Right now, they've said this prayer. I don't know their faces, but I know that they're everywhere in the world today. Wherever they are in the world today, they're watching. I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you empower right now. Let them sense your presence. Let them feel your presence, oh God, in the lounge room that they're in right now. Wherever they are, Father, watching on a phone or on a computer or on a tablet or in front of a television screen, Father, I pray, let your Holy Spirit flow through right now, touching each and every lives, transforming every soul, oh God. We give you praise, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory for all your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Father, thank you, Father. Lord, as I end this prayer, I'll speak your blessing, oh God, over the lives and the hearts of the people today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. The shalom peace that comes only from God. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Be your portion this morning. There is nothing missing in your life. There is nothing broken in your life. Everything has been restored today, made whole, well, and complete by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In your marriage, in your relationship, in your job, in your finances, in your health, oh God. Thank you for the health that is restored in your people this morning. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. For you are worthy of all praise, all honor, and glory. In no other name we pray this prayer. In no other name but the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, this is the soon coming King, hallelujah, that is going to come and rule and reign on this very earth that you placed us in. God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed and said, Amen, hallelujah. Well, be blessed this morning, church. And, you know, if you've given your heart to Jesus this morning, and if you've received Christ this morning and said this prayer, you know, if you're far away, find a church that believes in the Bible, believes in the Word of God, believes in not just the Bible, but the Holy Spirit. Find somebody or give us a call. Go to our website and go to our Facebook page and send us a message. And we'd like to help you. We'd like to be with you. We'd like to walk with you as you grow in the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.